just heard there from Los Angeles, that was Dawes, one of the bands. I've played in my show in the past that Val Cormier, the hostess with the mostest, Doug. And it's also a bit of a weird meme on the satirical newspaper, The AV Club. And the song was Million Dollar Bill, and that's off last year's Nothing Is Wrong album. And, yeah, if you get a chance to see them when they do tour live, right now they're actually hitting more of the East Coast right now, but keep your eyes peeled for when they next hit town. So that's going to be it for the Folk Oasis here. Next week, Paul Norton will be filling in for Val. And as we heard, as she called in from New Zealand, sounds like she's having a marvelous time, but we'll hear from her in 2 weeks. Next Monday, I'll head back over to my show, Exploding Head Movies, which is Monday, 7:30 to 9. However, do stay tuned to CITR Vancouver here, 10 p.m., just seconds away. It is Sexy in Van City. It's with your host, Caroline, and she's got some guests here. Then 11, it's usually Marion with Hans Claus's Misery Hour, and I think he's coming tonight, but nope. We're going to be on autopilot after that, so yeah, Caroline will be closing our Wednesday, regular Wednesday broadcast day. So if you missed any of this week's episode, Val will get this on her podcast. Just keep your eyes peeled on www.citr.ca. So we'll do one last song here. We'll let Caroline fade it out, and this is going to be The Books. This is off their 2005 album, Lost and Safe, with It Never Changes to Stop. So take care of yourselves, Vancouver, and enjoy the spring weather.
thought he could stop when he wanted to, that he could stop, you know, when he wants to stop. And I don't think that he ever really believed that he couldn't stop. I really believe that. I think that he really felt that he could stop whenever he wanted to.
Of course.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However, if you decide to spend the hour with us, we're very, very, very glad to have you. It has been a really long time since I've had a full room here on my on-air booth, which is really exciting. I've got the lovely Gary, who is leaving us, who is filling in for Val. And I've got two extremely sexy people who I've met, which it's kind of love at first sight, which is a very cool thing. And we're going to be chatting about something that I think is really misunderstood in Vancouver, and I'm really excited to have them here. So tonight's show is going to be Authentic Tantra 101. So that we can educate people, because even on Twitter, when I mentioned about the fact what tonight's show topic was, people are kind of like, what is that? You know, and still there's always questions. And in our pre-show chat, we were chatting about that as well. So I've got the lovely Davey Ward and Jacques Drouin on the show. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Good evening.
So tell me a little bit, let's just kind of start it right from the get-go, just some basic differences between authentic tantra and what people's misconceptions are, which I know that could be a full-on conversation.
You want to do this right out of the box, okay? Okay, well, tantra literally means to weave.
To weave.
To weave. To weave light and sound with form.
Okay.
Now, there are other etymological definitions, and that means word definition.
Breaking
the word down.
Thank you. I was just going to ask
Break the word down. And there is also one other general definition, which means liberation through expansion.
I like that.
Yes, but it's very difficult. And so, so sometimes people think, liberation through expansion, that's just a really groovy feeling. So if I have this groovy feeling, I'm doing tantra. No. The liberation through expansion comes from practicing the methods of weaving light and sound with form. So here we go. You asked.
I know. I think it's great.
Okay. So light and sound with form. If you reach to the top of your head, you'll feel a little soft spot at the back of your head. Okay, it's the last, no, higher up, there you go.
It's the soft spot where when babies are born, their skull doesn't completely close, the soft spot.
So soft spot is actually the top of the central channel of your yogic channels in your body. And the reason it's soft is because it's actually still open. The energy is open to the universe, okay? So, but inside, from that point to the perineum between your anus and your genitals, I believe you can call it taint, and your taint is the bottom end, and between that is this line of energy.
Mm-hmm.
This is called your central channel or your Uma channel. Now, for those who are out there who understand Hindu style, then that would be the Shushumna or Avadhuti Nadi. Nadi means channel or sound. Okay. So along this central channel are chakras.
Mm-hmm.
Chakras, for those who don't know what they mean, it means wheel, or it's just an energy center. That's all it is. Just like your solar plexus is a nerve center, the chakras are energy centers. Okay? So they're there, and from these chakras radiate 72,000 subtle channels. Every pore in your body is the end of a subtle channel.
Wow.
So in acupuncture, the meridians are just connecting the dots of lines of where these central channels end. Okay, so that's the outside, so that's acupuncture. The inside is this central channel. This channel is the core of the life force in the body, and it is where pure awareness resides, non-conceptual awareness. So in our practice, the head is body control. The heart is mind. That's the root of mind.
Okay.
Okay, so the conceptual intellectual constructs are made in the brain. They're a reflection of pure awareness. And it's like the moon and the sun, okay?
Mm.
So along this channel are these seven chakras. Within those, five of them are used as five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and space. And that's where they're seated in your body, already there, okay? Earth, water, fire, and space. The other two are considered caps within which we cycle the energy. All right, now, weaving light and sound with form. So that's the subtle form. The physical form is the body. And weaving the light and sound is this. So we visualize within the along the central channel five geometric colored shapes. And each one of these represents one of the elements, earth, water, fire, air, and space. Okay? And these are not just made up. There's a practice called dark retreat in which the visions arise and everybody has the same vision. It's these five colored shapes.
They're primordial.
They're primordial, archetypal, okay? So everybody has, so nobody's making this up. This is actually there already. It's natural in us. So we focus our attention in these chakras through visualization of the shape and the light. Then we tone sounds, light and sound with form. So the sounds are toned. Each sound is a mantric syllable, which is called a seed syllable or bija, which vibrates at a particular frequency. That frequency of vibration exactly matches the light frequency vibration of the visualized colored shape in the chakra. So when you tone the sound, the chakra vibrates.
It activates.
And then it's called, because of this, and knowing what each sound means, the chakras become enriched with elemental essence energy. They get supercharged. And then it starts to what's called packing. The chakra packs. And when it hits critical mass, it explodes out through the channels.
Mm.
So all five elements are vibrating, radiating, enriching, and then you share this energy with your partner, or you move it, circle it in yourself. So energy goes where the mind focuses.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen in a biorhythm exercises or experiments where they put little contacts in the person's fingers and they say focus on your finger and move the dial. See? And people focus the energy in their fingers and the dial moves. See, they put energy there. So if energy goes where I focus and I focus my mind in my chakras, energy builds in my chakras. And if you're my partner and we're together physically, and I focus my mind in your chakras and you focus your mind in my chakras, we are mingling minds, vibrating our essence energy, elemental energies together, and it's the energy is flowing back and forth, and the connection is so deep. You know, you have that poetic, two lovers entwined as one. You lose any idea of separation. So there's love, union, and great bliss, non-conceptual freedom and awareness arises. And you can do this for hour after hour after hour.
And these practices can be done sexually or non-sexually.
And I think that's a big thing. Sometimes people, I think it's just about sex sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's about love and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also do an entire healing practice called the Tibetan Five Element Healing Practice, which is tantric, has mantra, has visualization, no sex. Just like, very much like acupuncture.
But I do want to make a point that the sexuality is an important aspect of it. And so for me, the beauty of how our sexuality directly relates to our spirituality was summed up in this quote from a high Tibetan Lama. And he said, according to the lineage, that at the moment of orgasm, the moving energies in the genitals brush that central channel, the Sushumna Nadi, and we get a glimpse of enlightenment. So literally, we are physiologically designed so that every orgasm we have, whether we're aware of it or not, is a glimpse of enlightenment. So what if we could extend that brief moment of orgasm to last for several seconds or several minutes? And what if we could have orgasm after orgasm after orgasm, and our minds just rested within that emptiness, that bliss?
That awareness.
That awareness.
And with our partner.
Woohoo!
That would be a really, really powerful. And that sounds so much greater than just eye gazing and matching breath patterns, even though that can be really powerful
as
well.
That is powerful, yeah.
But I've never thought about it in the context of actually focusing on the other person's chakras. So that's really, really neat.
Tantra is yoga. Mm. It's closer, it's mind and body training, much closer to higher aspects of kung fu than it is to religion.
Okay.
And the thing about Tantra is that the eye gazing and the breathing are important aspects of it. They enhance connection. When two or more people breathe at the same rate and the same pace, their heartbeats synchronize. It's called entrainment. And so it's just part of our physiological makeup that when we harmonize our breath with someone, we link up. We literally sync up energetically. So it's important to do that before you engage in the lovemaking or you engage in, you know, chakra exchanging. It's important to be connected first.
Yeah, definitely. So that would be like step one, where that's the basics.
Yes.
Step two would be, or maybe step five, I'm not quite sure.
Okay, well, basically, the way
described it.
A tantra session.
Mm-hmm. A tantra workshop.
The way a full tantric session would go between two lovers would basically be, we begin with harmonized breathing. So we count 21 breaths together, so we come completely to rest. We mingle awareness. Okay, then our heartbeats synchronize. Now they're beating at the same rate, so our breath is coordinated, our heartbeats are coordinated, and we're resting our awareness together. Then we go to a second breath, which is an emotional breath called the ocean breath, taught by Carla Tara out of New York, one of our friends. Okay. This is deeply emotional and yin, opening breath. Then we go to a third breathing exercise. So by this time, now your emotions are linked, your heart's linked, your breath is linked, your minds are linked. And then you go to the five element called running the elements, which is done in three cycles. Then you move to dancing the elements. And you may not have even taken your clothes off yet. And at this point, you're in a state of incredible bliss. We have students that some of our students get together, and they don't want to make love with each other, but they want to practice their breathing. So they get together to say, let's have dinner and breathe. And they never take their clothes off, and they don't have sex. But they're in this utter bliss for hours, just breathing. Then, and let me finish that. So from there, then we in Tantra we say, ladies come first. And I mean come first. So
I did, that's why I laughed.
Right. So then now, you know, usually when you get to, okay, let's say you rush home from work, okay, and there's the person you're gonna play with, the man or woman, okay? And by the way, Tantra does not have sexual preference. Whoever you want to play with, as long as you're not causing harm, doesn't matter.
So you can be heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual,
and
transsexual.
And the beauty of it is not only acceptable, there are specific tantric practices for each style. So man-man, woman-woman, man-woman.
I did not know
that. Oh, yeah. I have special tantric instruction for gay men. She has it for women. So anyway. So now back to, but we'll just do, so for tonight we'll be talking heterosexual, but if we do
can
have
it. Actually, no, it's anyway. Honestly, we can talk about everything because
I'm just saying it keeps it easier. Okay.
Okay, fair
so
enough.
So like as we say. So
I can have you back on for another
there
show.
We go. Words,
so, there
okay. we go. But I just want everybody to know that. It's not only heterosexual, but for just tonight we'll just talk that way. And if you want to talk gay, that's fine. I don't mind. But anyway, so the man will invite the woman. So he'll say something like, may I offer you some pleasuring? See, so then the woman...
Which is hard to turn down.
Very much so.
So the woman will go to the chair. And she will not just get pleasured. She will get a full vulva massage, like the whole outside, inside, G-spot. And it could take an hour or two, if that's what the woman wants. Davy's first vulva massage was 5 hours.
Wow. Yeah, it was crazy.
So then, you know, orgasm is not a goal. Pleasure is the goal. Orgasms are, what do you say?
The body's natural response to pleasure.
But you say something about they're like the symphony, the high notes of a symphony.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. So if you have them, good. And if you don't, good. And while I'm at it, let's set everybody free. No one ever makes anybody else come. We do not make people come. We bring the causes of pleasure. And if that person responds, their body, their mind, and their emotion responds in a particular way, they'll orgasm. So we say orgasm is every person's own response ability, the ability to respond. So we never make anybody come. And this can be really freeing, because if you're down there pleasuring somebody for a while and they don't orgasm, you're not doing anything wrong. It's their response ability. And in the meantime, I just do what I came to do. Gift my lover with pleasure.
Yes, we say love is desiring happiness and pleasure for others.
Right.
Mm. Specifically our partner.
Right.
Yes.
So then this may mean that this woman has no orgasms, or she might have 10 to 20 multiple ejaculatory orgasms, and it can be the same woman on a different night. Because there's no one orgasms the same every time, or even session to session.
So each session is unique,
each one is
a separate journey.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that makes, and so there's all kinds, because you're going deep and long. So I don't want to get distracted yet. So then maybe the woman's done, so we take a little break, you know, or maybe a big break. Because see, Tantra, we're not in a hurry. We got all night, all day, whatever. So then the woman may pleasure the man, or then maybe you go to lovemaking. But see, the man is non-ejaculatory, multi-orgasmic man, will make love for a long time, as long as the woman wants.
Mm-hmm.
See, so we have this little joke, see. In conventional relationships, the lovemaking's over when the man ejaculates. I'm done. Okay? In tantric sex... I'll let you go next. Okay. So usually for us what happens is, or for tantricas, it's the woman says, "Thank you, I'm done."
Which does happen.
Yeah.
So I was just going to say, just to put in perspective, in conventional sexuality, the average time of penetration is 2 to 7 minutes until ejaculation. And so it's been shown that it can take a woman anywhere from 20 to 45 minutes before her body's even ready to have an orgasm. So a lot of women are confused about why they're not having vaginal orgasms. Well, they're not having, they don't get enough long enough period of penetration or lovemaking to even orgasm. They're physiologically not even ready to orgasm.
And that makes so much sense. And so many women, sometimes sexuality can be really painful. And
absolutely.
I know that was one of the things you touched on in the video I got to see. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you want to just tell our listeners a little bit about that, just in regards to how just embracing Tantra in your life, it can really open up just so much pleasure. The way you described it was beautiful, but just any even more so.
Sure, absolutely. So I became involved in Tantra with Jacques because I actually had one of those breathing experiences that he mentioned, like fully clothed. We just did our breathing and ran the elements. And I was in complete bliss for days. And I was like, okay, if this is Tantra, I'm sold. Like, we didn't even have sex. I didn't even think we kissed. It was just like, it was totally platonic. And I was completely in bliss. So,
yeah, she called me up the next morning. She goes, I'm totally in bliss. Can we practice Tantra together?
So,
yes.
So, yeah, so my mind was blown and we hadn't even entered into the sexuality. But what attracted me to it was the spiritual potential. Mm. I was interested in transforming my consciousness. And I thought, well, wow, you can do that with sex. That's pretty cool. Let's find out, right?
Yeah.
At the time, I thought my sexuality was completely healthy. I thought that 2 to 7 minutes of penetration, that's normal. That's just what we experience as women. I didn't even conceive that I could have anything other than that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that pain during penetration was normal. You know, it felt there was pleasure, but there were some sore spots, and I just thought everyone felt that. I thought that communicating during sex meant moaning louder or pushing my hips towards him or pulling them away. It didn't ever, it was like this horrible taboo to actually speak my pleasure, say, yes, I like that. It was like, oh, like I had a hand around my throat. I would never even dream of doing that.
Wow.
And I could have one clitoral orgasm. I had no idea where my G-spot was. And what I find so interesting is actually, like, several years before I met Jacques, I was with a man who, quote-unquote, said he practiced Tantra. And it was a lot of just the eye-gazing and reading mm-hmm. books and David Dade and that kind of thing. And even he didn't know where my G-spot was, which I think is so mind-blowing. And I find that fairly common. Like, there wasn't education about our the physiology of our bodies and mm-hmm. and basic sex education, as well as the spiritual education. So what I experienced through Tantra, as I began to awaken sexually, mm-hmm. as I began to heal sexually, I became aware of how repressed we all are, but how repressed
society,
I think as a planet, quite frankly.
Okay.
I really think, you know, I usually say as a society, but if you look at all the societies on the planet, how many societies celebrate sexuality? Like, celebrate it, honor it as sacred, revere it. Like, you could talk about it comfortably and openly at the dinner table.
Not in this day and age, not since the Victorian era, definitely.
Right. So, in my opinion, as a planet, our sexuality is one of our most wounded areas where we need the most healing. People are terrified about sexuality, and there's so much pain around sexuality. And I think the pain simply comes from our own ignorance. Ignorance of the beauty of it, the potential of it, and also the true purpose of human sexuality. If every orgasm is a glimpse of enlightenment, wow, that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So your story.
Oh, yeah, so my story. So I forgot about it.
So you had one blissful orgasm.
Yeah. So, and like Jacques described, my first vulva massage was 5 hours, and it was like a for real tantric healing. And I mean, it, you know, we obviously took breaks, but literally there was no intercourse. There was no sex. It was just Jacques and me and my vulva communicating about what was going on for me. And what I realized was every area in my vagina that was sore or tender or numb had an emotion or a memory or an experience attached to it. And as that pain dissolved and pleasure returned to that area of my body, I became free. It's like I reclaimed aspects of myself that had been latent and hidden. Even from myself, that's the thing. They say you don't know what you don't know. You really, when it comes to sex, we have no idea how we are impeded, programmed by our culture to be completely ignorant of our true potential. And so it was, I felt like I got out of jail. I literally felt as if I had been let out of a cage. And wow. I continue to discover these areas, these hidden shadows that rise to the surface through our practice and reveal themselves and are transformed and healed. And I become more free in that area of my life. More energy is available. I am able to access life and relate to life in a way that is completely new for me. I feel like I'm being reborn constantly. And it's through our sexuality. It's through Tantra. That's what's so mind-blowing. And it's easy. It's so easy, and it feels good. Like my homework when I first started practicing Tantra with Jacques, he was like, okay, go home and masturbate and run the elements. And I was like, really? That's my homework. Okay. I wouldn't have trouble filling this assignment at all.
How long ago did you start?
4.5 years ago. Yeah, 4.5 years ago.
4.5 years ago, yep.
And how about for you?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
28, 30 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so I began...
He was quite accomplished, yeah. I was like, ooh, I get to study with him.
Yeah. I actually grew up in Vancouver. I went to McGee High School.
So did I, actually.
You went to McGee?
I graduated 89, though, so it was
a while ago. I was like, 74. Okay, there you go. I just dated myself for all the people out there.
But you look much younger.
Yes. Tantra, you
semen retention.
Okay. Semen retention. Be strong. So, So 28, 30 years ago, 1978, whatever how many years that is, I went to Northern California, the Bay Area, and I settled in Marin County, which is the north end of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay.
And then I joined a Tantra community there, a spiritual community that practiced Tantra. Okay. At the same time, we had Mantak Chia, Charles Muir, Margo Anand, and a few other tantric instructors. It was a hotbed. That's where it started, right there. Pretty much. I mean, you know, it was around. But they'd all just come back from India or Mantak Chia from Thailand or China, wherever he came from. You know, I don't remember. He is one of my influences, and I honor him. He's really good at what he does.
He's a master.
He's a master. He's a grandmaster, I think. Within that time, there was not much available. And it was just getting started. So it was like every little piece, you could read a 400-page book and you'd get one thing. And it didn't work. So you'd read another one and another one and another. So okay. But eventually it started to come out more. And so over a number of years, I studied in Taoist style. That would be Mantak Chia, Hindu yoga style, which is, it's Tantra yoga, but it has a different motivation.
Okay.
So the motivation in Indian style is to shoot the energy. It's like Kundalini. You shoot the energy up your spine into your upper brain, and you get a woohoo heavenly experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's no love in it because it's all about. As a matter of fact, it's very male oriented, in which the man takes the woman's energy into his spine and shoots it up his head, shoots it up to his head, and you do get a blissful experience, but. My experience as a healer, I've worked with several people who've done that, and they became dysfunctional because you empty the navel and shoot the energy to the top of the head. It works, and it's fantastic if you live in a cave or a temple. If you have a job, it's not a good idea.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, the style we practice is Tibetan Vajrayana style. We circulate the energy between, and there's just as much instruction for women as there is for men.
Yeah, in fact, the first Lama in Tibet was a woman, and this particular lineage is called the Dakini lineage. It's held by women.
And it was begun by two enlightened women.
And they'd have sex with their students and enlighten them.
Right. And initiate them
down the line.
So anyway.
That's Tibetan Buddhism. Ha ha.
I also studied.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's not little monks entirely.
So I'm also studied in Western Neo-Tantra. That's, of course, Charles Muir's and all the Margo nuns and all that kind of stuff. I've accomplished that. And a little bit of American Indian Kwidosh, some of the breathing styles. And about 9 years ago, I had the amazing good fortune to encounter Lama Tashi Dundrup of the Shangpa Kagyu Tibetan Buddhist lineage.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean a lot to you, but for those out there, it might. So anyway, the Shangpa lineage has a lot of tantrikas and not too many monks and nuns. Okay, so Lama Tashi Dundrup just happened to be Charles Muir's best friend and used to teach Tantra before he became a Lama in Hawaii. Okay, so when I wasn't with Davy at the time, I was with my ex-wife, who is now his consort. Oh, and it's all nice and clean. We were already divorced and everything, and I'm really happy, and our house is a Dharma center. It's really neat. So anyway, he saw our training. You know, but this is the beauty of lamas. Lama means teacher of mother of the path. Okay, so my partner and I, we finally found this lama that could teach us the Buddhist teachings. Okay, the secret Tibetan five elements.
I just wanted to say something about these teachings that is really beautiful, is that the secret Tibetan five element sexual teachings have never been taught openly in the West. And Jacques Drouin is the first person that we know of who has permission, qualified permission from Lama Tashi to teach these openly in the West. So it's pretty precious.
Oh, let's rock and roll. We got stuff to do. So anyway, I thought you find this very interesting. So the first time that we saw Lama Tashi, we walk in the room and he was doing some stuff, and he turns around, he looks at us, and he looks at me, and he goes, "You're attached to bliss." And then he goes on doing some stuff, and I go, how the hell did he know that? And then I asked him, I said, oh, so this is the first night we were at a class. And I said, so are there any sexual practices in the keg you'll in? She goes, no. And I go, oh, okay. Well, that's not why I was there. I was there to learn, you know, the Vajrayana practices. Mm-hmm. 4 months later, he's teaching us. For 4 months, he taught the five elements. See, you know, never once sexually. Then 4 months in, he goes, and you can do this sexually. And then he turns around and I go, wait a minute. Did you just say we can do this sexually? He says, yes. And I says, go home and try it. So my partner and I went home. So I've already accomplished in all these other practices. Mm-hmm. Thought, but I always knew something big was out there that I didn't know about and nobody knew about. Mm-hmm. So we went home and did this practice and we went, this is that thing I've been looking for all this time.
The missing piece of the puzzle.
And I realized, and in that day, I realized why that piece isn't out there.
Why?
Because Tantra, the real authentic Tantra, is an oral secret tradition. It's not written down. Everything you read on Tantra talks around it, but you don't know what they're actually saying until you have kind of the code. They tell you the practice and all the stuff around it, give you the initiations and the empowerments, and then tell you the secrets. And then you go, now I know why it's a secret, because it's so powerful.
Wow.
I would like to give you an example of how. Can I keep talking?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's an example. But I want to give you a sense of, like, that this is not just a groovy, fluffy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't have to go as far as I've gone, although I do recommend it. It's really. Anyway, so here's an example. So there are practices that I'm allowed to practice with others, and there's practices I can't until mm-hmm. they're prepared. So, for instance, I have practices David doesn't even know what they are. I can't even tell her what they are until the Lama says she's ready. Mm-hmm. He just gave her a more advanced practice recently.
Yeah, he just gave me permission to do the next level of the Tibetan Five Element sexual teachings.
Right. So you have to go.
I've been doing it for 4 years now. Right. 4.5 years, right. And I just recently got the next level of teaching.
So here's an example of the energy that we deal with. Okay, so one of our friends in the Sangha, which means group of practitioners in Hawaii, who had all the initiations and powers of Lama Tashi, but had never done this particular aspect of practice. So the five elements, earth, water, fire, and air, and space, are considered female or feminine.
Mm.
All phenomena is feminine. Awareness is masculine. So each element has an awareness aspect to it that is different from each of the others. Altogether, it makes a human. The five elements, the five awarenesses, now you have a human. Very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach, I have permission to teach the five element practices. Okay. So the beauty of the five elements is that they introduce you to the awarenesses.
Mm.
And that's where the enlightenment aspect comes in. But we're used to energy, like fire. You know what fire feels like. You know what water feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what mirror-like wisdom feels like? No, it's like looking your own eye. You have to have a mirror to show it. So anyway, the male practices I don't do with anybody. There are male practices, but they're... So here's why. So this woman, a lovely friend of ours, she's about, just put it in perspective, she's about 185 pounds. Big girl, you know, so she's not like a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this puts it in perspective. So I'm sitting with my back near the edge of her bed. And the wall is, 6 feet away? Okay, that's about how long beds are. And she's sitting in my lap. And so we did the five element practices. And they said, are you ready? And she says this. I said, okay, now we'll go to the next step. So I started doing the male practice with her. Okay, so merging the male and the female. So generally you go 3 times. We went 1.5 times. And she blew off my lap, flew through the air and landed against the wall 6 feet away, shaking and orgasming, and I had to soothe her all down. Fully clothed, no sexuality, not even a kiss. And I soothed her, calmed her all down, and I said, Are you still want to finish this? She says, no, thank you. That's okay.
You see, so, as she said at the top, so when a woman says, that's enough.
That's enough.
So I just want, there's a lot of energy. And I thought that would be a fun example to show that
how
is not.
It is.
So real tantra is yoga. It's not, you know, just a rub and tug. You can do massage and pleasuring, but if you don't add light and sound and form and deliver your own energy into the person, it's not tantra. It's an erotic massage.
I am so curious about actually introducing you to, you might know them, I don't know if you know Mauna Ryan, who teaches the contact partner yoga, where they, it's all in, it's all lifts and things. Some people call it acrobatic, but I'd be so curious to merge the two together and see what, in terms of on that level, just where, you teach the dance as well. So were you teaching dance before you started this practice?
I actually was. I've been teaching sacred erotic dance for about 7 years now. And I have to say that when I started practicing tantra, it became a healing practice. Before then, it was just dance instruction, and it was fun, and it was fun to dance sexy with your friends. But when I started to go through my own personal sexual healing, that started to come through my teaching. And then what I started to notice from my students is that they would report to me that as their bodies changed, as their pelvic movements opened, as they expressed their sensuality through movement and dance in a way that they had never done before, they started to notice that the way they related to their partners changed and the way they related to life changed. And they said that this one woman reported that she went came to a dance class for me, and then she went out for dinner that night. And she said, the way I walked through that restaurant, I've never walked through a restaurant like that before. She felt this inner sense of empowerment and sensual fulfillment and also fearlessness. I think as women, we there are a lot of negative repercussions to embodying our sexuality in our culture. We get a lot of negative flack for it. We get criticized or slut-shamed or like it's actually dangerous in some places. Like it you don't want to walk through the ghetto shaking your ass, right? So for women, as a self-preservation, we shut it down a little bit often. And I believe that we in our culture are never really fully encouraged to fully let it shine. And we don't really have any role models that fully embody healthy sexuality, healthy sensual expression. We don't see it visually. And I believe it's important for humans to see a visual representation of our potential. Of our potential.
Well, one thing that Davey didn't say is that part of while in Hawaii, while she was honing her dance instruction skill, part of that was working with Lama Tashi while he helped her use and incorporate the five elements into dance. So she has permission to teach that in dance, not sexually like I do, but in dance. And you should tell the story about, I can't say her name, but the one that went 16 years with therapy.
Oh, right, right. So usually when I teach the five elements, like Jacques said, I did get permission from Lama Tashi to teach them with dance. And so what I teach in sacred erotic dance are the five core pelvic movements. What I teach in tantric movement or feminine emergence dance, it's a variation of the same, are the five core pelvic movements and the five core movement patterns related to each of the five elements. So Lama Tashi worked with me, supported me in discovering which of the five core movement patterns corresponded to which of the five elements. He also gave me a few little secret instructions to share specifically with women. So, about activating the fire element.
Wow.
Which I do teach in my sacred erotic dance classes. So how this became, so when I started incorporating the five elements, it literally became a healing through movement. It became a healing practice.
Medicine,
exactly. And so I had one student that I worked with in Kauai who, when she came to me, she literally called me up on the phone and she said, you know, I really don't want to take her class. But I feel like I have to.
Was she scared too? Because she's afraid to heal? Yeah,
well, it was what she described is she said, I know that I need to do this, but I don't want to because I cannot stand being in my own body. I hate being in my own body. You said something about like needing to follow your breath. She's like, I cannot count 10 breaths. She just did not want to be in her body.
She just wanted to disassociate.
Yes. So, okay. Yes. So I found out.
I want to say why.
Yeah. And I found out later. I didn't know at the time, but I found out later it's because she experienced severe sexual abuse as a child. But I didn't know that when she showed up on my doorstep. I just got this phone call and she wanted to work with me in private sessions and she didn't want to do it, but she felt like she had to. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let's see how this goes. So I worked with her very gently and very lovingly and did some breathing with her that she actually enjoyed. And then I started incorporating the five elemental movement patterns with her. And she liked them. She started to experience pleasure in movement for the first time in her life. And we continued to work together for several months. And within, I'd say, about 90 days, she was auditioning to be a showgirl on this, they were doing this play or something.
She worked in a hospital.
She worked in a hospital. They were having some event and they were doing a play or a dance or whatever. And so she was auditioning to be a dancer in this play that she'd never taken a dance lesson before in her life. She was not a dancer. But after about 90 days, she felt so comfortable in her body that she wanted to go on stage.
Wow.
And so we went to an event where she was speaking and talking about her sexual abuse. And
so it was a YWCA, I think, women's abused women's presentation. Anyway, here
comes. Mm-hmm. So her therapist was there. And her therapist came up to me and was crying and said, I've been working with her for 16 years. And she has healed more in 3 months with you than she has in the last 16 years. And she gave me a hug and just thanked me for my work. And it's not to say I don't think, tantric movement should replace talk therapy. I think they work hand in hand. But it was just, to me, it was just a signpost of how she got to a certain point. But then it was literally through getting out of her mind and just getting into her body and integrating these new movement patterns and integrating this elemental energy into her body that she started to heal on a level that was below the mind or beyond the mind.
She unlocked cellular memories and traumas.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was like my greatest.
And to finish the story, she ended up on the front page of the newspaper as the hottest burlesque dance girl. And it was amazing. She just is like, it's just a picture, like, you know, as big as the front pages of just her sitting on a stool. What a transformation.
Yeah, it was pretty radical.
So I think one of the things that we haven't said here is that Tantra, at base and fundamentally, is medicine. Mm-hmm. It's to remove suffering and pain. Okay, and pleasure is medicine.
In history, how did things go from, because I know in terms of history, in certain parts of India where there were, you know, like just in terms of just like the yoni, etc., like in other, like where there were pictures everywhere. And how did we go from where we celebrated? Because I was thinking about that. When did that stop and why?
Oh, well, it stopped. I'm not a historian, so you'll have to forgive me. I don't know the dates.
That's okay. Around.
Okay. So 1,300 years ago, Tantrikas went from northern India into Tibet. As a matter of fact, the Buddha Padmasambhava, who was the highest main Tantrika in all of India, went to Tibet. And he got together with Lady Yeshe Sogyal, who was a queen. And they brought... Mm. This was by invitation of king. Okay, so that's how it began in Tibet. And in 25 years, those three people, utterly transformed a black magic warlord country into a Buddhist country. And so that's power of Tantra. Okay, now, during, I think approximately 400 years later, I don't know the timing anyway. So for instance, Afghanistan used to be a Buddhist country. Okay. Oh, it was absolutely amazing. That's where they had the great statues and everything that So it was called Udayana.
Mm.
Okay. So then the Muslim hordes invaded northern India. And We know, unfortunately, the Muslim orientation to sexuality. Mm-hmm. So they went destroyed all the tantric temples in northern India, all but one or two, which were so deep in the jungle they couldn't find them, which broke the lineages. Mm. Okay, so a lot of the transmission didn't carry forward. Some carried them forward in secret. So, like, I got a little bit of that instruction. But the lineage is pretty much broken. Well, let me put it this way. As far as I know, my understanding or belief is that a good part of that Indian yoga, tantra yoga lineage has been broken. Mm. There may be some that still carry the tradition, but I don't know everybody or everything. But those practices, those same practices, which had been for a long, long time, were held undisturbed and refined and advanced in Tibet for 1,300 years. So the Chinese only invaded in 1959, and those lamas came out.
Mm-hmm.
See, very recently. So Kalu Rinpoche went to Maui, ran into... Now, Kalu Rinpoche and Chögyam Trungpa were the first two to come out. All the other lamas thought Westerners, we were too thick, we couldn't be taught. We would not be able to practice the higher yogas. But Kalu Rinpoche and Chögyam Trungpa said, oh, I think they can do it. And they came out and they ran into Lama Tashi and those kinds of people mm-hmm. who were just hippies at the time, who are now full on
lamas,
you know, carrying the tradition. And so it's transforming from Tibetan Buddhism to Western Vajrayana Buddhism. Mm-hmm. It's its own flavor, mm-hmm. but it's the same instruction. So that's kind of you can get much more detailed, but if you want. But that's basically it. It kind of got destroyed when the Muslims went in there and attacked, and mm-hmm. it's unfortunate, but it's the way it went.
Wow. So for a town like Vancouver, I just realized I haven't played a single commercial.
Oh my god!
So I should probably.
Okay, we'll give you a break.
I will. We're going to just take a really quick short break.
I guess
and
that's
we get
a good
back.
Sign. Huh?
It is a very good sign, considering I don't think I've done a show where I've missed all of my commercials up until 10 minutes before the end of the show before, which says how awesome this show is.
Well, it's awesome for us, so you better do anything else.
So, listeners, you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back. As soon as I can find the ad.
Vancouver will be twirling its tassels for the 7th year in a row when the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival takes to the stage May 3rd to 5th at the Rio and Vogue Theatres. There are more international performers this year than ever before, including the current reigning queen of burlesque, Miss Indigo Blue, and the boylesque sensation, Jet Adore. The festival has variety acts, live music, comedians, and burlesque all together in 3 nights of the sexiest and most entertaining weekend of the year. Tickets are available from northerntickets.com or visit the festival website at vanburlesquefest.com.
...2011 marks the 25th anniversary of the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden since opening in 1986. The Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden is very pleased to have been able to connect cultures and communities for the past 25 years and continue being an arts and cultural hub in the neighborhood and the city. Watch for complimentary specials on the 25th day of every month. There are also blockbuster exhibits, community events, academic conferences, and music and theater productions lined up, plus contests and giveaways. CITR 101.9 FM is proud to be a year-long partner as the Garden celebrates its 25th anniversary. For more information, visit www.vancouverchinesegarden.com.
Show your Friends of CITR card or simply mention that you heard about the garden on CITR to receive $2 off admission.
Anything is possible!
Cinco Cinco Wednesdays at the Cobalt. $5 cover, $5 draft, and $5 highballs. A weekly showcase of up-and-coming bands, artists, and DJs, where the artists get 100% of their ticket sales. For more information, visit thecobalt.ca.
And we
are back in Sexy and Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, we've been in such an enlightened conversation that I was so transfixed that I missed all my commercial breaks until almost the end of the show. So for those of you who are listening right now, it's obviously a good show because, you know, I'm usually a lot better at doing my commercial breaks. So obviously, as I said at the top of the show, I'm definitely a love at first sight thing, and I'm getting really entranced, and it's been really wonderful and very much tantra, authentic tantra 101 for me too. So I'm getting a lot out of this. This is lovely. And so if you're just joining us, I've got Jacques Drouin and Davey Ward on the show. So it's been quite wonderful.
Yes,
so,
we're enjoying ourselves.
Thank you. And on the break, Jacques, you wanted to...
I had been mentioning that the Muslims invaded northern India and just basically destroyed the tantra. But I didn't want to make it look like Muslims are bad or something, because within the Muslim tradition, the Sufis practice something like tantra. So Lama Tashi told me that was what he was practicing before he became a Buddhist, was the Sufi style and also East Indian style tantra, which was then transformed through the Vajrayana practices. Okay. And I want to make a point. You do not have to become a Buddhist to do the five element practices. The five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and space, are universal. Anybody can do it. We have, this is fun. Lama Tashi's son teaches yoga to Christians, and he incorporates a little of this. And I taught him the five element yoga. So anybody can do it because it's not religion. It's just mind training. You just add if you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, you have the chakras. You have the entire. You have the whole system there. It's called the Vajra body. It's ready to go.
So I often refer to tantra as sexual yoga, or at least the tantric sexual practices as sexual yoga. Yeah.
So I wanted to say something for I want to say something for the men out there, which is that. we can become multiple non-ejaculatory orgasmic men. And it's simple. We teach this in class. It's simple. And to put it in perspective, I can have anywhere from 5 to 30 orgasms in a session. I ejaculate approximately once every 3 to 6 months. Okay? So... and some of those orgasms go on for a long, long period of time. We were just, we're filming for our Tantra Online School we're going to have very soon called Tantric Temple. But they filmed me having an orgasm, and on camera it timed out at 2 minutes and 33 seconds.
Wow.
One orgasm. Okay. We were no laughing, ejaculation. Like, really? He's still going.
Okay. So men have the possibility to have full multiple whole body orgasms just like a woman. And when we retain our semen, we become powerful.
Wow. So you don't get depleted or anything after the fact?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no, I get energized. Oh, yeah.
So it's not the falling asleep thing afterwards?
Oh, no. No, I said it's over when the woman says, I'm done, thank you. And honey, I'm done. It's more like, I'm done. Leave me alone. I got to rest, right?
Well, something that most people don't know is that orgasm and ejaculation are two separate functions of the nervous system. So using simple methods, men can learn to separate orgasm from ejaculation, and then they can start experiencing all these different flavors of orgasm. Ejaculation is one kind of orgasm, and it's great to have once in a while. Sure, absolutely.
But it depletes.
But if you do it too frequently, it depletes. And we have a whole, I just wrote an article recently on our blog, the five health reasons for semen retention, or health benefits of semen retention, which clearly outlines what those benefits are. Yeah.
And one thing, though, that I think is one of my greatest joys in teaching this, especially the semen retention, is that we teach five methods, not just one, three of which can be applied by the woman to men during the session in an easeful manner. It is part of the play, part of the flow. And what this does is it self-empowers women. It liberates you. You're no longer ever subjected to 2 to 7 minutes towards ejaculation, because all you have to do is say, hey, baby, I know how to do this little thing. Would you like to make love to a Dakini like me for hours? Just tell me when you're close, and I'll apply my little method. And off you go into Loveland.
I so want to ask what that method is, and my gut's telling
me. We teach it in our workshop.
Come to our workshop.
I'm not going to give it to you. You can't. I'd have to show it to you. Nobody can see it. But it's simple, and we will have it online soon, too. You'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
But it's not just 1 minute. It's 5 minutes.
Five. Which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So for those of you who want to connect with you, because I know you've got quite a few workshops coming up. You've got the online school. Mm-hmm. I know with Beljeet Riot as well, you're also doing a workshop as well, which is how we originally connected.
Absolutely.
And that's coming up in
May 19th, yes. Yeah. So I do quite a few offerings that are for women only. And mm-hmm. so on May 19th, Beljeet Riot and I are doing a sensual goddess series. So she's going to do her amazing and wonderful healing with the Akashic Record reading, and I'm going to do some sacred erotic dance and some authentic tantra instructions. So that's a joint adventure that I'm very much looking forward to. And then Jacques and I together are teaching two upcoming workshops, one actually next weekend, April 28th and 29th. It's the Five Element Authentic Tantra Weekend, and that is good for couples and singles, no previous experience necessary. And something that's important for people to understand, I think, about our workshops is that they are taught fully clothed. There is no explicit sex or nudity, and we demonstrate all of the genital pleasuring methods on anatomical models. And then once you see them demonstrated on the model, then you get a chance to play with the model yourself, which is actually pretty fun.
So you can contact us at tantricartsoflove.com or sexpassionvancouver.ca.
I like Sex Passion Vancouver. That's the better website.
That's because she built both of them. So she like,
go to Sex Passion Vancouver.
But I just thought, let's do something. We're going to be spontaneous, okay? So for all your listeners, if anybody just signs up or calls up and says, I heard you on the show, knock $50 off cost for the workshop.
Yeah, absolutely. So if any of your listeners want to register for the workshop April 28th and 29th, or at the end of May, we've got one coming up at the end of May. Okay. Yes, we'd be happy to give them $50 off. They just need to mention your beautiful name and Sexy in Van City.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
And on that note, I'm very curious, who does your Twitter account, which of the two of you am I chatting to?
That's okay. Me.
So when I retweet,
if it's electronic, it's Davey.
It's me.
If it has something, if it's esoteric, it's me. Yeah. I hold the tantra, she holds the websites.
Well, I'm excited that you're teaching this in Vancouver, and I'm very
excited. So are we. I'm really happy for it. I think Vancouver is the new San Francisco.
Okay.
Having come from San Francisco, and I'm really excited to be back here. I've been gone 32 years.
It's his hometown, yeah.
It's my hometown.
Yeah.
And I got some stuff for everybody. We have some stuff for everybody.
Well, I'm looking forward to finding out more, so I'm going to definitely have Tiffy guys back on the show as well.
Love to, yes.
We're happy to come back.
Anytime, girl.
I just may have to get yours to remind me to take breaks. So.
Ah.
Although I could take my response ability, too.
Ah. We'll create little signs.
Totally, like... It'd be like the call cards, like kind of prompter.
Flashcards.
I'd be happy to do that.
So listeners out there, you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Hans von Claus's Misery Hour will not be happening tonight. He will not be coming in, but we will all be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful night, everyone.
Good
bye-bye.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
. 2011 marks the 25th anniversary of the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden since opening in 1986. The Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden is very pleased to have been able to connect cultures and communities for the past 25 years and continue being an arts and cultural hub in the neighborhood and the city. Watch for complimentary specials on the 25th day of every month. There are also blockbuster exhibits, community events, academic conferences, and music and theater productions lined up, plus contests and giveaways. CITR 101.9 FM is proud to be a year-long partner as the Garden celebrates its 25th anniversary. For more information, visit www.vancouverchinesegarden.com.
Show your Friends of CITR card or simply mention that you heard about the garden on CITR to receive $2 off admission.
Are you walking to class? Are you grabbing a coffee? Got lunch hour to kill? We invite you to fill the silence of your day with the sound of some live music. Music on the Mind? UBC's newest student concert initiative invites the School of Music out of the concert hall into the schoolyard. 10 concerts at 5 venues on one campus. Let's get music on the mind at UBC.